Welcome to today's Hearthstone. Let's Talk Pella. I'm Andrew Schneider. In part two of a two-part conversation, executive leader of Many Hands for Haiti, Tim Brand, joins us on today's program. He discusses the ongoing dire situation in Haiti.
First part, we talked about your expansion to a new country, your expansion to a new town here in South Central Iowa, and your end of year giving. Let's see where the country is right now. And boy, I wish at some point, Tim, when we talk about this, there'd be a lot of good news to share. But things in Haiti are as dire as they've ever been. I know you were there. Your operation's been on the ground after the earthquake happened. Last time we've really talked, the last couple times, it's been post-presidential assassination in a country where I think people here in Pella and our communities, Tim, probably can't fathom how bad it is in Haiti.
For sure. It's hard for me to even wrap my head around it when I hear these stories. It is historically bad. Haiti's had its issues for a long time, but we're talking historically bad. Catastrophic is the word that the UN uses right now. The UN just deemed Haiti the most dangerous place in the world, more dangerous than Ukraine. That's an active war zone. Haiti is an active war zone. It's just an anarchy war. There's no sides. It's all gangs and gang related because the president was assassinated a little over a year and a half ago. The government itself hasn't been able to function. Now all those senators and people in parliament are stepping away because there's no election. So there's no functioning government as of January of 2023. That causes all kinds of issues. And so what's been happening in that power void is gangs have taken over. Kidnappings are incredibly high. Gas is incredibly hard to find, food shortages, money shortages, banks aren't operating, hospitals are operating less than an hour a day. Cholera is running rampant again because people are having to make poor choices around what they can drink because they can't get access to clean water. These things that we would never dream of are happening, you know, just off our doorstep, to the point when we think about, you know, in the 80s of Ethiopia and Kenya and some of those things, and we think about the 90s, what happened in Rwanda, and that's happening right now. Unfortunately, 2.9 million people right now are in catastrophic, not just significant, catastrophic hunger, where that means they are going to die if something doesn't happen because of the lack of resources that are able to get out to the country.
How is this impacting your operation? Because I think that when we've talked before, some of these dire straits, you were largely insulated. And there's no doubt there's still great work happening there, but Haiti's not a big place, as many people may know. It's much smaller even than Iowa in terms of distance from the capital to where you guys are and some of the craziness. How are things going for your operation right now? Because I know that you guys have well-established communities. There's been a lot of incredible positive change. What's happening with you guys?
So we are still functioning, but it's incredibly difficult. So we have 94 staff that are Haitians that are still getting a paycheck by the grace of God. That's amazing that they can still get a paycheck. We still have three missionaries that are down there. We did have to pull four out just to send them home to reduce our footprint because, again, in case something catastrophic were to happen. But within that, our prices have skyrocketed. I mean, gas, to wrap our head around, you know, gas is a big issue back here. It's something everyone sees. We're paying between $20 to $25 a gallon for gas, if it's even available. So we're having to make compromises to how do we do that. Food prices have gone up between 40 to 70%. So for the most people in our area, they can't afford it, which means they're not eating, which means that comes even to us more so where people are showing up and saying, I can't feed my family. What am I supposed to do? So it is rippling to us from that standpoint. The other thing is the lack of transportation of goods and services means that it's tough for us to even find some goods and services. We are still functioning. We are still running daily programs, but we had to delay school for a month and a half because of the dangers to our school kids because the gangs were actively targeting kids if they came to school, which, again, blows our minds, but that's what was happening. We are running our first 1,000 days program where women and children can come and get fed and get a meal and get medical checks and education opportunities. We are still doing that, but it's incredibly difficult. We have people walking long, long distances just to get some food. So it puts a strain on the whole operation because people don't know where. I mean, it's always been tough to where's your next meal coming from, but now they can't even go to the market because the market can't even function because the cars can't operate. You can't operate a vehicle if it's $20 to $25 of gas, and on average, you're making $3 to $5 a day. I mean, think about working a whole week to buy 1 gallon of gas. It just doesn't happen. So it just shuts down everything. And then that rolls into us is how do you get goods and services moving?
So where do you find the hope then? I mean, that sounds as difficult even for you in your operation. There's some great things happening in other countries for you, and you're trying to still be a strong organization. But, I mean, it's not staff. Say for you have staff there. The resources are incredibly strained. Where do you find that hope?
So for us, we were built to do hard things. And that's what I keep telling people is, like, this is why we were designed. This is why we have our thrift stores that generate the incomes that they do so we can stand in hard places. This is why we have the staff that we had. I mean, I've got staff that, I mean, they're Americans, but they said, we're going to stay. Even despite that, we're going to stay. I have Haitians that will walk through rivers to come to work just because they're going to show up. So they aren't losing hope, because if they aren't losing hope, then I'm not going to lose hope. And, you know, our hope isn't in government. Our hope isn't in the worldly things. We do have an eternal hope of why we think is going to happen on this. And we're a faith-based organization, so we lean on our faith. At the same time, as I draw hope from seeing the strength of the Haitian people. And if I talk to them, they aren't sitting there, woe is me. They're sitting there saying, we'll get through this. We'll get better. We'll continue to do this. And we'll do the hard things. Like, if we need to walk through rivers, we'll walk through rivers. If we need to go to another town to go find food, we'll go to another town to find food. If I need to sacrifice the middle of the night and take a car out so I don't get robbed and mugged, I'll take a car out in the middle of the night. They're making those hard choices, which makes it easier for us. And financially, I mean, it's the realistic. I mean, I just did budgets for 2023, which is a tough thing to do right now. I'm 40% gain on everything. I mean, I've got to pay 40% more for everything. But we're going to do it. We're not backing away and not going to say, well, we're going to reduce services. We're going to figure out how to do it. And that's where I think the audience that I'm talking to here, partner with us. We've got incredible resources on the ground. We got incredible people on the ground. We can funnel and conduit the money that others can't. We have so many people that have left and gone home. They're saying, it's too hard. We're going home. We're not going to go home. We're going to stay because this is where our people need us. If what we did and we went and turned home right now, that would be a travesty in itself. And so we're staying, we're going to keep doing work, but we're also going to find unique, creative ways to, okay, we can't send people there, well, let's send them to the Bahamas. There's still work that needs to be done there. And there's some issues there. You know, we can't send Americans there. Well, we can still fund Haitians to go do this. So again, we're finding ways to do it creatively. And I give kudos to all my staff. I mean, the staff is just amazing people. And that's, to me, to see humans having hope in one another and standing in hard places together, that was what bring me hope.
Once again, that was executive leader of Many Hands for Haiti, Tim Brand, discussing the latest about what's happening on the island nation. If you missed any of our Let's Talk programs, you can find them online daily at kniakbrls.com under podcasts and subscribe through Google, Apple, or Spotify to never miss an episode. That concludes today's Hearthstone Let's Talk Pella. Hearthstone, a ministry of Wesley Life, supporting the health, independence, and well-being of older adults in Pella.